the light of Jesus Christ to a world darkened with sin. This is the Lighthouse Radio Bible Study, an outreach ministry of the Progressive Primitive Baptist. Our purpose at the Lighthouse is to present you the truth of God's Word and its relevancy for your daily living. We want to help equip you to light your world with the truth of Jesus Christ, that Jesus is both Lord and Savior. Hello, my name is Scott Ryan, and I invite you to join us now as we study God's Word together.
Welcome, and thank you for joining us today at the Lighthouse. I'm your host and radio Bible teacher, Scott Reiner. Today, we continue to look at the broader subject of redeeming the time by a reading from Richard Baxter, who ministered in the middle to later 1600s. Now, I found it to be very amazing that what he addresses in his writing, Time Thieves to Avoid, is so applicable for us today. It reminds us that these individuals from the past faced many of the same issues that we do today. And although the English may be a little difficult to follow at times, the urgency and the overall clarity remains clear. So please join with us for today's study. Time Thieves to Avoid by Richard Baxter. Thief number one. One of the greatest time-wasting sins is idleness or sloth. The slothful see their time pass away, their work undone, and can hear of the necessity of redeeming it. Yet they have not hearts to stir. When they are convinced that their duty must be done, they are still delaying and putting it off from day to day, saying, I will do it tomorrow or hereafter. Tomorrow is still the sluggard's working day, and today is his idle day. He spends his time in fruitless wishes. He lies in bed or sits idly and wishes that this were laboring. He feasts his flesh and wishes that this were fasting. He follows his sports and pleasures and wishes that this were prayer and a mortified life. He lets his heart run after lust, pride, or covetousness and wishes that this were heavenly mindedness and laying up treasure above. Thus the soul of the sluggard desires and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 4. The desire of the slothful killeth him, for his hands refuse to labor. Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 25. Every little opposition or difficulty will put him by a duty. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore shall he beg in harvest and have nothing. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 4. The slothful man saith, there is a lion without, I shall be slain in the streets. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 13. As the door turns upon his hinges, so doth the slothful upon his bed. The slothful hides his hand in his bosom. It grieves him to bring it again to his mouth. Proverbs chapter 26, verses 14 and 15. And at last his sloth depraves his reason and bribes it to plead the cause of his negligence. The sluggard is wiser in his own deceit than seven men that can render a reason. Proverbs chapter 26, verse 16. Time will slide on, duty will be undone, and your souls will be undone, if impious slothfulness be predominant. The way of the slothful man is an hedge of thorns, but the way of the righteous is made plain. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 19. You seem still to go through so many difficulties that you will never make a successful journey of it. Yea, When he is in duty, the slothful is still losing time. He prays as if he prayed not, and labors as if he labored not, as if the fruit of holiness passed away as hastily as worldly pleasures. He is as slow as a snail, and doth so little work, and is all but next to sitting still and doing nothing. It is a sad thing that men should not only lose their time in sinful pleasures, but also lose it in reading, hearing, and praying by doing all in a heartless drowsiness. Thus, he also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 9. If he begins in the spirit, and for a spurt seemeth to be in earnest, he flags, tires, and ends in the flesh. Galatians chapter 3, verse 3. The slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of a diligent man is precious. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 27. If he sees and confesses a vice, he has not a heart to rise against it, to resolutely resist it, and to use the means by which it must be overcome. I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw, and considered it well. I looked upon it, and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. Proverbs chapter 24, verses 30 through 34. Shake off then this unmanly sluggishness. Remember that you run for the immortal crown. Therefore see that you lose no time and look not at the things that are behind. That is, do not cast an eye or lend an ear to any person or thing that would call you back or stop you. Heaven is before you. Abhor a sluggish habit of mind. Go cheerfully about what you have to do, and do it diligently with your might, even about your lawful worldly business. It is a time-wasting sin to be slothful. If you are servants or laborers, you rob your masters and those that hire you, who hired you to work and not to be idle. Whatever you are, you rob God of your service and yourselves of your precious time, and all that you might get therein. It is they that are lazy in their calling that can find no time for holy duties. Ply your business the rest of the day, and you may the better redeem some time for prayer and reading of Scripture. Work hard on the weekdays, and you may the better spend the Lord's day entirely for your souls. Sloth robbeth multitudes of a great part of their lives. Slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep, and an idle soul shall suffer hunger. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 15. A careful, diligent person is still redeeming time while he doth that which is good, and a slothful person is always losing it. Thief number two, the second time waster, is excess of sleep. Necessity cureth most of the poor of this, but many of the rich are guilty of it. If you ask me what is excess, I answer, all that is more than is needful to our health and business. So much as is necessary to these, I reprehend not. Therefore the infirm may take more than the healthful, and the old more than the young. Those that find that an hour's sleep more will not hinder them, but further them in their work, so that they shall do the more and not the less as being unfit without it, may use it as a means to the after improvement of their time. But when sluggish persons spend hours in bed that neither their health nor labor need, merely out of a swinish love of sleep, yes, when they will have no work to do, are calling to employ them, except that which yields to their sleepy disease, and when they think that they may sleep longer than is necessary because they are rich and can afford it, and have no necessary business to call them up. These think they may consume their precious time and sin more and wrong their souls more because God hath given them more than others, as if their servant should plead that he may sleep more than others because he has more wages than others. Oh, did these drowsy wretches know what work they must do for God? For their poor souls and for those about them, it would quickly awake them and make them stir. Did they but know how earnestly they will shortly wish that they had all those hours to spend again, they would spend them better now than in drowsiness. Did they but know what a woeful account it will be when they must be answerable for all their time to say, we spent so many hours every week or morning in excess of sleep. They would be roused from their sty and find some better use for their time, which will be sweeter in the review when time is ended and must be no more. Thief number three. The next time waster is inordinate adorning of the body. The poor may thank God that they are free also from the temptations to this and can quickly dress and go out their business. But many ladies and men of fashion and pleasure are so guilty of this vice that I wonder conscience is so patient with them. O poor, neglected, undressed souls! O filthy consciences, never cleansed from your pollutions by the Spirit or blood of Christ! Have you not better use for your precious hours than to be washing, pining, dressing, curling, spotting, and powdering until 10 or 11 o'clock in the morning, when honest laborers have done one half of their day's work? While you are in health, were not 6 o'clock in the morning a fitter hour for you to be dressed, that you might draw near to the most holy God in holy prayer, read His Word, and set your souls and your families in order for the duties of the following day? I do not say that you may go no neater than poor laboring people, or that you may bestow no more time than they in dressing you. But I say that for your souls and in your callings, you are bound by God to be as diligent as they, and have no more time given you to lose than they. You should spend as little of it in needifying yourself as you can, and be sensible that, otherwise, the loss is your own. That abundance of precious hours that your pride consumeth will lie heavy one day upon your conscience, and then you shall confess, I say, you shall confess, with aching hearts that the duties you owe to God and man and the care of your souls and of your families should have been preferred before your appearing neat and spruce to men. If you have but a journey to go, you can rise earlier and be sooner dressed, but for the good of your souls and the redeeming of your precious time, you cannot. Oh, that God would but show you what greater work you have to do with those precious hours, and how it will cut your hearts to think of them at last. If you lay but hopelessly sick of a consumption, you would desire to be cured. It is like this proud disease. Bestow less of your time in adorning the flesh, which is hasting to the grave and rottingness. Can you not now see how time and life consume? When time is gone, conscience itself shall answer all and make you wish you had been wiser. You know not, ladies and men, how precious a thing time is. You little feel what a price yourself will set upon it at the last. You little consider what you have to do with it. You see not how it hastens and how near you stand to vast eternity. You little know how despised time will look a weakened conscience in the face, or what it is to be found unready to die. I know you lay not to heart these. If you did, you could not. I say, you could not so lightly cast away your time. If all were true that you say, that indeed your place and honor requires that your precious morning hours be thus spent, I profess to you, I would pity you more than galley slaves. Indeed, your excuses are frivolous and untrue, and they do but show that pride has prevailed to captivate your reason to its service. For we know lords and ladies, and great as the rest of you, though alas too few, that can quickly be up and dressed and spend their early hours in prayer and adorning their souls, and can be content to come forth in a plain and in a non-elaborate attire. Thief 4. Another time-wasting sin is idle talk. What abundance of precious time doth this consume? Hearken to most men's discourse when they are sitting together, working together, or traveling together, and you shall hear how little of it is any better than silence. And if not better, it is worse. So full are those persons of vanity, who are empty, even to silence, of anything that is good, that they can find and feed a discourse of nothing for many hours and days together. They think there is such ability to produce ideas using unusual or complicated words, of style as deserves acceptance if not applause. I have marveled often at some wordy preachers with how little matter they can handsomely fill up an hour. But one would wonder more to hear people fill up not an hour, but a great part of their day in their lives without any study at all, and without any holy and substantial subject, with words that if you should write them all down and persuade them, you would find that the sum and conclusion of them is nothing. How self-applaudingly and pleasingly they can extempore, talk idly and out of nothing, a great part of their lives. I have heard many of them marvel at a poor unlearned Christian that can pray extempore many hours together in very good order and well-composed words. But are they not more to be marveled at who can be very handsomely talk of nothing 10 times as long, with greater abundance, without repetitions, and that extempore? When they have not that variety of great commanding subjects to be the matter of their subject? I tell you, when time must be reviewed, the consumption of so much in idle talk will appear to have been no venial sin, as empty, careless sinners now imagine. Thief number 5. Another notorious time-wasting thief is needless, inordinate sports and games. They are commonly stigmatized by the offenders themselves with the infamous name of pastimes and masked with the deceitful title of recreations, cards, dice, stage plays, dancings, revelings, and excesses in the most lawful sports, especially in hunting, hawking, and bowling, etc. Whether all these are lawful or unlawful of themselves is not the present question, but I am sure that the precious hours that they take up might have been improved to the saving of many a thousand souls that by the loss of time are now undone and past recovery. Except malicious enemies of godliness, I scarcely know a more wretched sort of people on the earth, and more to be lamented than those fleshly persons who, through the love of sensual pleasure, do waste many hours day after day in plays, gaming, and voluptuous courses. Their miserable souls are dead in sin, enslaved to their fleshly lusts, unreconciled to God, and find no delight in Him or in His service, and cannot make a recreation of any heavenly work. How will it torment these unhappy souls to think how they played away those hours in which they might have been pleasing God, preventing misery, and laying up a treasure in heaven, and to think that they sold that precious time for a little fleshly sport, in which they should have been working out their salvation and making their calling and election sure. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. Thief number 6. Another time-wasting thief is excess of worldly cares and business. These do not only pollute the soul with deep stains in a little time, and then recede as some more disgraced sins, but they dwell upon the mind, keep possession of it, and keep out good. They take up the greatest part of the lives of those that are guilty of them. The world is first in the morning in their thoughts, last at night, and almost all day. The world will not give them leave to entertain any sober, fixed thoughts of the world to come, nor to do the work that all works should give place to. The world devours almost all of the time that God and their souls should have. It will not give them leave to pray, read, meditate, or discourse of holy things, even when they seem to be praying or hearing the word of God. The world is in their thoughts. They come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goes after their covetousness. Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse 31. In most families, there is almost no talk of doings but for the world. These also will know that they had greater works for their precious time, which should always have priority over the world. Thief number 7. Another time waster is vain, ungoverned, and sinful thoughts. When men are wearied with vain works and sports, they continue unwearied in vain thoughts. When they lack company for vain discourse and games, they can waste the time in idle, lustful, ambitious, or covetous thoughts, alone without any company. In the very night time, while they wake, and as they travel by the way, yes, while they seem to be serving God, they will be wasting the time in useless thoughts. This devours a great proportion of precious time than any of the former. When time must be reckoned for, what abundance will be found upon men's accounts, as spent in idle sinful thoughts. Oh, watch this thief and remember, that you may think that a vain thought is but a little sin, yet time is not a little or contemptible commodity. Thief number 8. Another dangerous time-wasting sin is the reading of vain books, playbooks, romances, and fictionalized histories. Also, unprofitable studies that are undertaken for no reason but pride or the pleasing of a carnal curious mind. I speak not here how pernicious this vice is by corrupting the imagination and affections, breeding a diseased appetite, and putting you out of relish with necessary things. But think before you spend another hour in any such books, whether you can comfortably give an account of it to God. How precious is time, which you are wasting on such childish toys. You think the reading of such things is lawful, but is it lawful to lose your precious time? You say that your petty studies are desirable and laudable, but the neglect of far greater things is not laudable. I discourage no man from laboring to know all that God hath any way revealed to be known. But I say, as Seneca, the Roman philosopher and statesman, we are ignorant of things necessary because we learn things superfluous and unnecessary. Art is long and life is short, and he that hath not time for all should make sure of the greatest matters. If he be ignorant of anything, let it be of that which the love of God, our own and others men's salvation, and the public good do least require and can best spare. It is a pitiful thing to see a man waste his time in criticizing or in growing wise in the less necessary science and arts, while he is yet a slave of pride or worldliness, hath an unrenewed soul, and hath not learned the mysteries necessary to his own salvation. Yet those studies are laudable in their season, but the fanatic studies of those that would pry into unrevealed things, and to the lasciviousness employment of those that read love books, playbooks, and vain stories will one day appear to have been but an unwise expense of time. I think there are few of those that plead for it that would be found with such books in their hands at death, or will then find any pleasure in the remembrance of them. Thief 9. But the master thief that robs men of their time is an unsanctified, ungodly heart. This loses time, whatever men are doing, because they never truly intend the glory of God. Having not a right principle or a right goal, their whole course is hellwards, and whatever they do, they are not working at their salvation. However, God may use the time and gifts of some of them as a mercy to others. They are still losing their time as to themselves. Therefore, a new and holy heart with a heavenly intention and design of life is the great thing necessary to all that will savingly redeem their time.
You have been listening to the Lighthouse Radio Bible Study, an evangelistic ministry of the Primitive Baptist Churches of the Southeastern United States. We encourage you to attend one of these churches whenever possible. This radio ministry and its supporters are committed to the authority, the inerrancy, and the divine inspiration of God's Holy Word, to the Saviorhood of Jesus Christ, as well as to His Lordship, and that salvation is by God's grace alone. We hope this program has had a positive spiritual influence in your life. If it has, please write us and let us know. We encourage you to be with us next week at this same time. To find out more information about the Lighthouse, you can visit us at our website at www.lighthousebiblestudy.org. That's all one word, and in all lowercase letters. Once again, that's www.lighthousebiblestudy.org. Please take a moment and visit us at our website. This program exists because evangelistically minded people like you contribute to it. If you would like to help us bring the light of Jesus Christ to a sin-darkened world, then write us at The Lighthouse, P.O. Box 1317, Baxley, Georgia, 31515. Once again, that's The Lighthouse, P.O. Box 1317, Baxley, Georgia, 31515. We would love to hear from you. Until next week, this is Scott Reiner encouraging you to light your world.